Welcome.
Okay.
Hi, guys, everyone. So, welcome to the latest Single Ladies podcast here on Podcast by Hepzibah Frances.
Yay. Welcome.
And so, this is just going to be like a chat kind of session. My name is Hepzibah Frances, you must already know, and I have a special guest with me by name Mobolaji Roots Olorishade. I hope I'm pronouncing it well with my non-Yoruba tongue.
You got it. Whoop whoop. My name is Mobolaji Roots Olorishade. You got it right.
Okay, thank you. And I just had a really, I don't know if to call it a budding, just like a nudge, one of those, something that I just felt like I should do, you know, letters to single ladies. But I didn't want to do it alone. So I wanted to get sisters and friends that I know have been working on this journey and this pathway for some time now. And you know, the funny thing was that we're supposed to do this from last year, so this assignment, if I may say, is even like a year plus late. There's a book on singlehood and writing, there's a trip on singlehood, and that's how you just know that it's God, because 1 year later the body is still so, you know, so strong and pressing on me. Guys, we wanted to sit back and relax. Today is episode one, and we're going to be talking about Bolaji's story, kind of. I wanted to share some of her lessons with us on love lost. But let me not get ahead of myself. Let's hear from you, Bolaji. Who are you? Who is Bolaji? Who is Bolaji Roots?
Whenever I'm asked this question, I just start scratching my head. Oh, God, who am I? Who am I, God? Okay, I am a child of God before anything else. Like, I'm a Jesus girl, Jesus freak, Jesus lover, Jesus follower, disciple. All of those things. And then from there stems my creative and professional side, where I work as a digital marketer / human resource consultant, you know, that professionally. But like, I'm a lot of things. I'm a writer, I'm a creative, I'm a trainer, I'm a speaker. That's why I find it difficult sometimes when people ask me, oh, who are you? I know that at the core, exactly, you know, I don't have that one thing that I do. At the core of it, I know that it is Jesus, but from him now stems a lot of things that I do, that I enjoy, that I love.
But you're that talent with five talents.
Well, I don't know, it's not me that will say I have five talents. It can be two in God's eyes.
I totally get, because of course I'm one that I don't even know how I'm able to do the things that I do. I don't even get. I don't even understand. And like you say, you stay faithful with one, he keeps giving you another. The reward for faithfulness is more work.
Right.
Yeah. So guys, I've known Bolaji for 2014, 2015. Wow, more than 5 years. More than 5 years, and I met her from my blog, of all places. Like, the internet is really rich with treasures and of relationships. Bolaji has been one, not just Bolaji, her family, you know. Sometimes I just think about it. I don't know how God brought me from Delta State into Lagos and then gave me a home, gave me a family, gave me so Bolaji has been, you know, we've walked some pathways together. And I want to hear, I know a bit, but I want to hear about your single story. I want our listeners to hear about your single story. What's your background on this singlehood thing and singlehood journey?
Okay, so I started dating pretty early before I knew Christ. So I think I had my first boyfriend at 15 or something. But
Wow.
when I look back at all those times, I just know that we're joking. Like, we were not in any serious relationship because I think that first one lasted 3 months, and then the other one lasted about maybe 10 months. I've never dated anyone for up to 1 year. And then after that, I was single for a long time until I started dating someone, and then we broke up again. So I've been single like most years of my life, if I'm going to say that. If that even
So
makes sense.
you've not been a serial dater.
No, I haven't. I haven't. I've not dated a lot of people, and I've also not dated for long. So if it's that, you date someone and then you date them for 4 years or 5 years and all of those things, that has never. In fact, if I put everything together, I've not dated for up to 1 year and 6 months. Like, if I put all my dating experiences with, like, yeah, it's not even up to 2 years at all.
But
So I've
what are
been
your thoughts?
single.
What are your
What are
thoughts on dating itself? There are two different school of thoughts in the Christian world. There's a school of thought that's, don't date till you are sure that this is the person you are going to get married to. Like, don't go out with, this normal social, I'm on the dating scene, even though I'm not sure that this person is my guy. So there's that school of thought that says, don't do that. But then there is another school of thought that says, even as a Christian, you can have some fun social time out with a guy or a girl, as the case may be, till you get to figure out or find who the one you want to get married to is. So what are your thoughts?
Okay, yeah, I totally understand where that question is coming from. There's that, and I'm a member of Redeemed Christian Church of God, and in our church, like, we don't like they discourage dating, right? Like, they just say, be sure of what God is saying and then go into a courtship with the person. But I'm of the opinion, maybe it's just like this is my own opinion, right? I feel like you have to date, but date carefully. So here's what I mean. I'm not saying that you go on dates with different people, because at the end of it, what that would do, and even let me just speak from my own experience. I don't go on random dates, right? I don't like you don't just text me and say, oh, can we hang out? And then we start hanging out, we start seeing each other every other week when we're not really certain of where or where when I'm not really certain of where your mind is, if I can put it that way. So I feel like I'm not one of those people who wants to jump immediately when I meet someone and I feel like, oh, this person is interesting, this person is a child of God, this person, I like speaking with this person. I'm not going to jump and say, let us start courting, right? Like, because again, another thing with the men is that once you immediately start speaking of marriage and all of those things, that can put a lot of pressure on them. Right, but I feel like the dating process as a believer is that we're getting to know each other, we're building a friendship. Because I would say that what really messed up my last relationship was that we literally started courting, but we were not friends. I don't know if that makes sense. We did not know what the other person liked, we did not know the other person's best color, we did not know the other person's best food, all these little things
So
that
like that
seem like they don't.
process, of getting to know one
Exactly.
another.
Exactly. So I feel like, don't maybe it's still courtship, but maybe don't call it that, because in your head you're already saying, I have to marry this person. No, you don't have to marry this person. You're getting to know the person. I have an experience whereby, I started speaking with someone and the person seemed interesting. But then on the first date, we met and took ice cream and all of that. But from that first date, from our conversation, I knew that this thing cannot go anywhere. And so even though we had a first date, we did not have a second one. I don't know if what I'm saying is making sense. But just from going out from with that person for that one time, I knew that this is not going to be it at all, right? But if it was with somebody that I felt like, okay, this person is speaking, you know, like a child of God, this person has a vision, this person, I would like to keep, you know, going out to the person one way or the other to just see, like, let's see how this goes. But then I'm this is just my opinion, and it's not everybody that, you know, has that school. Because some people are just like, you know, let's be very sure. And I agree in one way. I take both sides, but I feel like the dating process is just, let's get to know each other. Are we compatible? Let's even know if we're compatible. Because one born again and another born again does not mean that they are meant to be married, in my own opinion.
Yeah.
So that period of just getting to know each other and dating, you don't even have to be going out to see each other. Like, you don't have to be going to places. It can be phone calls, it can be text. And then when you start, when Holy Spirit starts showing you things, like, take it seriously. There was also someone recently that I started speaking to, and I was just like, God, I don't want to be wasting my time. I'm older than all of these things. And I think another thing is that we don't pray, right? And I just prayed about it. And even though, you know, this person has started calling me more often and all of that, from that prayer, Holy Spirit started showing me things that I had been blinded to, right? And from there, I knew that this thing is not going anywhere. So yeah, so, all of these things, right?
So it's just like, don't go out like a random, I just want to have fun, I just want to enjoy myself, so anybody who comes my way, I'm down for this, you know. But at the same time, don't plunge into something that you think may be God just like that. So have like the dating process now becomes not just a social thing, like a random thing, but as a way of sieving through before you get into something serious. So, take for example, a guy is coming, and I really understand this because I remember how when I was at law school, there was a particular guy who was coming my way, and the Holy Spirit is amazing. What he did for me was, because I think it wasn't just my brain thinking. Said me for. I literally prayed. I was like, Holy Spirit, come and be with me during this time. Holy Spirit, show me the things that I need to see. Show me the things that I need to know. Point out the things to me my own mind or emotions or something would have clouded. And let me just see clearly. And it was a different perspective for me. Because even though this person was like, oh, you know, I'm a serious guy. I don't just want to play. I'm doing this. But the time when we went out now became a time where I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, cause me to see what I need to see. So it wasn't like dating for social reasons, but like a disclosure. Let me just put it that way. Like disclosure. So let's say, for example, let me ask this. Say the person has said, God has told me. God has told me. You know? And you go on this date, which is meant to be like a disclosure time. Holy Spirit, show me things that I do not know. And the things that you see, you know, the manifestations of the person, and not like fecal, this is not your imagination, this is not like just, what's the word? This is not like you being fecal, like being picky or choosy, as they say, but you really literally see red flags. And you think, or you say, God has told me. Table it together with this thing you've seen on this date. What would you advise that person to do?
Okay, so this God has told me thing, I feel like whenever you hear it, remember that you too, you are a child of God. God is your father. You are not deaf and you are not dumb. So if God has told somebody that I am his wife, then I feel like that person should be kind enough to give me the time to also hear from my father that you are my husband. But if anybody comes at you and starts saying, God has told me, and doesn't give you the time, doesn't allow you to pray and all of those things, I don't feel like it is fair. Right. So even with that, even when God has told you something, or you feel like God has told you something, and then you now get close to the person, and you start seeing things that are not, that are not, I don't know how to say it, that are not godly, right? You are not going to allow the person put a mental chain around your neck with God has told me, right? Because another problem is that I feel like a lot of people don't converse with God on a daily. We don't talk to God about, you know, the things that are little. Then when we want to marry, we want to hear God. And so when somebody comes and says, God has told me, you know, we hold that so dearly. Meanwhile, every day when we speak to God, we're learning how he speaks, right? And how to listen to his voice. So if you have cultivated that relationship, when somebody comes and says, God has told me, you say, okay, I'm not disputing that God has told you. Another thing is like, ladies, please, let's be gracious. Yes, so maybe the brother might not even be what you want, but like, let's be gracious to people. Let's be kind. Let's not, don't just abuse him and say, you know, you're stupid, you're dumb, you know, whatever, and all of those kind of attitudes. Right, treat all of these things with the fruit of the Spirit, but then go back to your own prayer place. Holy Spirit, somebody says Holy Spirit used to do a fofo, and I agree, like I agree so much. If you pray a fofo is like gossip, but like in a good way. So if you ask him things, he will tell you. It's almost like what they call gbeboro in Yoruba, like ofofo is like gbeboro. When you pray about something, he will tell you the secret things that that person is hiding. So if someone comes at you and says, God has said, go back to your own secret place and let God tell you things. Because God is not an author of confusion. He's not going to come and tell you one thing, tell the other person one thing, and then be using people to do jokes. No, he's not that kind of a person. Calm, he's kind, he's you know, he's directing us the way that we should be directed. So when someone comes to you with God said, make sure you go to your own closet, you pray,
go back, you have to fast,
pray in the Spirit, and then get what the Lord is saying. If the Lord is saying no, please don't push it. Don't say because the person has said God said, then it's a must and all of those things, and then you enter into a relationship.
So let's turn this around.
All these things, I don't like to hear bad stories and you know just sad stories that could have been avoided, right? So yeah, that would be my advice.
So I was going to turn around the question that, you know, someone else has said, you are my husband and or you are my wife, and then you see things that you are not okay with. So I was going to switch it back to, what if you are the one that thought you heard God say, this person is my husband or my wife, but in the midst of the journey, you find out some things are not just going according to plan, and then the whole thing had to disengage, you know, just a break in the whole relationship when you felt like you had already gotten God's yes at the beginning. What would you say to such a person, to such a situation, to such a person who may be in that kind of situation?
Okay, so if I got you correctly, so you feel like you heard God, right? And then you started dating, courting someone, and then when you people started your relationship, you then found out that you were not as compatible as you thought, and then it ended. Right, that's what you mean. Okay, so interestingly, I've been in that situation before, and for me, I would just advise that whoever is in that sort of situation should hold on to God the way they've normally done. So if you've been walking with God, you know, before your relationship, in the relationship, and now that the relationship has ended, you know, I would say it's not the time to now be angry at God or to move away from God or to move away from church and things like that. Because sometimes when those sort of painful things happen, the next thing that our brain will tell us is to isolate, you know, ignore the Spirit, don't read your Bible, don't listen to Christian music, all of those things. But then that will only lead to more trouble. So in my own case, I just, you know, continue to rest on God. Yes, it was painful and all of those things, but like the scriptures and just having friends. So I would say that it is very important to have accountability, right? So in my own case, before we started the relationship, during the relationship, when the relationship ended, my pastor was involved, and you know, some really close friends as well knew about it. So when it ended, it was easy for me to just go back to these same people for support, and they were always there, you know, praying for me, advising me, checking up on me. So I knew that even though, you know, the love relationship in quotes was no longer there, I still had the family relationship. I had the shepherd relationship. I just had other relationships that were really, really helpful, right? At that moment. So I would say that if you're in that situation, like, rest on God, read your Bible, don't ignore your Bible, listen to all the Christian music that you have to. If you have to cry, cry, but like, don't leave the presence of God, and then find people that you can be accountable and real with. Tell them, this is how I feel, my heart is broken, this and this, and you know, just tell them how you feel, and they would be able to help. But a lot of people, another mistake that I feel like people make is that, you know, they enter relationships, the relationships crumble, and then they are trying to figure out everything on their own. If you are in a church that you really love, or you are in a Christian community that you really love, find one person. Not everybody has to know your business, but even just one person, you know, that you can confide in, and that person would, you know, help, you know, pray with you, hold your hands, check up on you, and all of those things. That really helped in my own journey, and it's been good from then on.
So don't isolate yourself, no matter the temptation that comes to do that, and then have a support system. I also want to speak to like the main crux of it, because now this person is like, Satan can come up with all sorts of things. So how am I sure that I even have a relationship with God, you know? Because the Bible says that, of course, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And one of the ways that Satan really really fights us is through our thoughts. So now you think, oh, me and God, besties, you know, I was sure before I stepped out. And then I stepped out at what I thought to be his voice. And then everything fell like a pack of cards. So what about the thoughts of, do I even have a relationship with God at all? Like, am I just playing? You know, there can be an attack on that person's relationship and walk with the Lord. How can this person get themselves, you know, just aside from you trying to say, okay, I'm still going to read the word, I'm still going to worship, but what about these thoughts? What can this single person do with such thoughts?
Okay, so in my own case, right, I felt like I got a word, and you know, God was not against relationship and all of those things. But at the same time, I feel like we need to understand that there are two people in a relationship, right? So even if at the beginning, like, you have said, oh, God told me this, and the person too has said, oh, God told me this about you, and I feel like, okay, let's, you know, come together for marriage, and then something happens in between all of that, that one person, or say both of the people in the relationship say, oh, this is how they are now feeling. There's no, you can't force anybody to get married to you, right? So if one person feels like they are no longer in that state of mind, it's better, I would say, no matter how long. I know that, you know, mine was not that long, but I know there are people that have dated for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, and then the other person says, you know what, I feel like I did not hear God correctly. First of all, it's okay to let the person go. Don't force yourself on anybody, right? But at the same time, if you feel like, you know, you heard a word and then it's crumbled, and now you're just feeling like, maybe, you know, I did not actually hear God, or maybe I don't even hear God, I was just deceiving myself, I will just say that, see, you're not perfect. Yes, I understand the feeling of, you know, how could I, you know, for me, like, I had that feeling of me, Mobolaji, how would I have made such an expensive mistake? Why is it that I felt like God gave me a word, and then I went with that word, and then everything crumbled? Like, God, are you really faithful? All of those things came to mind. But at the end of it, right, Yes, yeah, so the way to keep on, you know, having positive thoughts is to be mindful of what you keep in your mind. It's funny because just this evening, like, I was battling with certain things and I started thinking of, you know, some negative thoughts. But then I don't know how to explain it, but I now told myself, I don't have to think these thoughts. Like, I have authority over my own mind and over my own thoughts. I'm not going to allow negative feeling and this negative thought to, you know, consume me. I would rather, you know, thank God for the things that I have, be grateful for my season and all of those things. So it might seem like it's just, you know, mere words, but like, be very, very, very mindful of your space. And when I say your space, I would say your mind. You have authority over it. Like, you have authority over what the devil throws at you. So if you start to feel like, oh, I don't hear God, in fact, I'm going to stop reading my Bible because all of the times I've heard God in the past, it did not really, you know, bring up any fruit and all of those things. It's just negative thoughts. You know that your Father is always good. You know that the Holy Spirit is your advocate, is your comforter, is your helper. You know all those things. So these are the things that the Bible says about Christ. Are you going to believe it or not? Right? And these are things that we don't like to hear, but sometimes in difficult times, that's when we can really know how, you know, much of a believer you are, right? If your faith would not stand in difficult times, then really, you know, how are you a real Christian? If at the thought of every hard thing or a breakup or things like that, you now neglect or you leave God totally. So just be very, very, you know, the way some people are so mindful of their physical space, right? They will not let you come and bring dirt and all of those things into their house. It's the same way you have to be with your mind when something like this happens. Be like me, for me, I would say I like ice cream, right? So during that period, I just found myself, you know, going to ice cream factory and other places to just take ice cream, sometimes alone, sometimes with friends. And it helped, as silly as it sounds, right? It helped my mind. It helped how I felt. So do what works for you and let the Holy Spirit lead you, right, in that situation.
It's like 2 Corinthians 10, taking charge of those thoughts and pulling them down under submission to Christ, because it can really go really bad. And anything that can happen and topple your faith, you know, someone can say, oh, nothing, is it just a breakup that made you say you're not going to go to church again? But anything Satan can use, it can actually use, you know. So that's such a powerful one, strength to pull down the thought. I want to ask just one last question. So there are two ways or two effects that can also come from love loss. We've spoken about one where it can actually affect your relationship with God. I wanted to just speak to, finally, what perspective can someone come out with in this kind of situation? Because you can come out with a perspective of, oh, you know what, I'm just, you know, fear. It's fear, but then clothes itself like a hard, like a hard exterior. I don't care about relationships anymore. You know, God, just, you know, whatever. I don't, you know. But what's the right perspective to bring out of a situation where it was lost that could have been? Thoughts could have been.
Hi.
Hi, I'm here.
Okay. Sorry, please, can you come again with the last sentence?
Okay. I said, what's the right perspective? What kind of perspective?
Okay.
Yes. What kind of perspective do you think one should come out with from a love that they thought could have been? Yes. What's the right perspective to come up with? Not you know, not fear cloaked as hard exterior. About relationships any longer, and also not like disappointment and bitterness. What kind of perspective would you say someone should come out with in this kind of situation?
So two things come to mind, and I feel like maybe it's just what the Holy Spirit would want me to share, and it's one, the perspective of lessons learned, and then two, one Two is of faith. So the one of lessons learned, I'm generally a person that I learn from everything. So I call myself a writer. Well, I'm a writer, right? And a lot of the things that I write are from my everyday lessons. Like if I hit my leg on a stone, I'll get a lesson. If I do this, I'll get a lesson. So for me, I would say if you feel like you've lost love, right, in this season of your life, one thing that you can help you, that has helped me, is to look at the lessons. Okay, so this last relationship, it did not go the way I wanted. What are the things that I can take away? Because at the end of it, if it just ends like that and you don't learn anything, it's a waste of your time. Like, that's when it's even more painful. That's the real waste of time, right? So from that relationship, what did you learn? Number one, we're not supposed to do this. Number two, we're supposed to do this. Number three, communication is important in relationship, right? You know, all these things that might have caused that previous one to fail, you know that you don't want to go into another relationship that would crumble because of those same mistakes that you or the other person made. So I would say the perspective of lessons learned, make sure that you actually sit down with yourself, tell yourself the truth, the places that you fell short, places that the person fell short, and then take the lessons out of that experience. And the second one would be of faith. So we are people of faith, we are believers, right? Have faith, like just believe that everything, no matter how painful, works together for your good. If it did not work out with this person and God has given you the promise of marriage, it will happen. Right, and it will happen at a perfect time. It will happen beautifully. So I remember seeing a tweet of a believer that I follow, and she was just like, you know what, ladies, you will see a lot of things that will make you say, ah, no, there are no men, there are no real men or godly men anymore. That don't believe that. Like, have faith that God is able to keep one person that is perfect for you. She talked about how she has always loved someone who is so romantic, someone who is expressive, someone who is not afraid to show how much he loves her, and that's when she waited, that was the kind of person that God gave her. Somebody who is super expressive, someone who tells her he loves her, someone who shows it, and just all of those things. And she's really grateful that, you know, she waited and that God brought this person into her life. So it's the perspective of lessons learned and the perspective of faith. Just believe, like, trust that God, if God has put that body in your heart that, oh, you are going to get married, then just believe that, you know, it is going to happen, and it will happen in a perfect time and with a really beautiful person.
As you said, just believe. I was just like, we're actually believers. That's what we are.
That's what we're called. So sometimes
we exactly. Sometimes we forget that, wow, I'm actually a believer. That's the name I carry in God. I'm a believer. So believe, you understood that faith can actually also go for my love story. Blew me away. I was like, what? So I can actually still use faith for my love story. And faith is not just for getting a job. Faith is not just for moving my life forward. Faith is for everything. Everything. So guys, ladies, guys, because I know that this is not just a guy thing. Many men, many women, that they thought could have been. And I hope that some way, somehow, you got some perspective that would help kickstart your healing, also move you along on the pathways of God. And I want to just finally say that God is a restorer. You know, sometimes we feel like we've lost things, including relationships and including love, being, but God is a restorer. God being a restorer means is that He never restores something in the same way something was restores in a double portion. And God always restores in a sevenfold, you know. So whatever it is you thought you may have lost, love lost, relationship lost, oh, amazing guy, we had such amazing times together. I want to leave you with the fact that God is a restorer. So stop going over old history. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. Pick yourself up by the grace of God. Bolaji said, you have authority over your mind. You have authority over your thinking patterns. Pick yourself up and then believe and trust the greater person, the greater relationship, the greater love that God has right there in store for you. Thank you so much, Bolaji. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for being with us. And guys and girls, share this podcast to your single friends, single guys, single men. And look out for the ebook on surviving singlehood coming out soon. God bless you. Thank you so much, Bulaji.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Signing out.
Bye.
See you guys. Bye.
100%. I just hit on publish for my new book, Surviving Singlehood. Yeah, guys, I'm so grateful to God for this one. I wrote this book in less than a week because I really felt like it needed to be up today, Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2020. So please go on Amazon Kindle, go on Smashwords, Kobo Books, and Okada Books to download your copy and share to every woman you know. Make sure you also share your reviews, share the book cover on your social media channels. It is Surviving Singlehood by Hepzibah Frances, a Christian fiction novel. It's a book that's just going to be really, really, really a big blessing to you. Tales of Lara, Amaka, Lazarus, and Femi, four singles in the city of Lagos, just trying to make a headway with their lives. I love to hear from you. Share the cover, download your copy, share your reviews, and tag me at Hepzibah Frances on all social media channels. God bless you. And thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, Jesus.